Hey, True Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Well, not here. Brad is here, filling in for me and doing a damn good job. Yes, I'll be back June 29th. Play nice while I'm gone. Keep it lit.
That's right. Mike Malloy is back in, well, not this chair, but his chair out there in Atlanta starting next Monday. Mike and Kathy will both be back. This is our final hour on the Malloy Show tonight, this week. I've had a great time sitting in for Mike, and much appreciate everyone out there. And by the way, for the folks at DU, go on over to Brad blog and go to that top item where there's a discussion thread going on. Hit comments and say and talk to Agent 99. She's over there. It's a Friday night. It's kind of slow. Her and Blue Bear, too, they're by themselves. Go on over and say hello. Mingle. I like to see all my friends come together, all right? DU Truth Seekers, Brad Blog Truth Seekers, get together, all right? We're going to talk about the media a little bit this hour, and then we're going to open the phones all to anything you want to talk about. 877-520-1150. Every time I say that, everybody waits till the end of the hour to start to call in. So call now. You'll have to hold for a little bit, but then we'll get to your calls. I want to get to as many calls as we can on any damn topic you want. Wake Miranda up. She's screening our calls, and get her working. 877-520-1150. This is a Michael Jackson-free zone. I guess you can talk about him in the open lines if you have to. But the reason it's a Michael Jackson-free zone is because everyone else is covering it. And frankly, not to be insensitive, but he's not coming back. And aside from the news today that he was apparently hooked on Rush Limbaugh's OxyContin, hillbilly heroin, there's not a lot of news there. So I'm not going to use this very valuable microphone here in what I will call the alternative media to discuss the same thing that every other damn place is discussing. If you want to do that, you can go do that. You can go watch, you know, they're covering it 24/7 on the cable channels, I guess. I guess it's that important. No, I think there are other things that are important. Accountability is important. And the fact that the media spent so much time going wall to wall on non-news stories is frankly why we are in this mess in the first place. Instead of covering the lies that the Bush administration was telling in the lead up to the war, as we discussed in the last hour with Marcy Wheeler, they were covering Jennifer Aniston and Brangela or whatever nonsense there was. Today, Dan Frumkin wrote his last column at the Washington Post. He bothered to recognize folks like Marcy Wheeler, folks like Josh Marshall at Talking Points Memo, the investigative bloggers in the blogosphere who have had this story right, all of these stories right from the beginning, while the mainstream media was following, you know, Michael Jackson and Brangela and all that other nonsense. Okay? And now they're wondering why. Gosh, why are we going out of business? Why is nobody buying the Washington Post anymore? And, of course, they're blaming the blogosphere. Perhaps they should blame themselves for failing in the first place. And even now, Washington Post fires Dan Frumkin, the one guy who was asking questions over at the Washington Post in the lead-up to war and beyond. And they allow George Will to stay, Charles Krauthammer to stay, Wolfowitz is writing on their op-ed page. What is going wrong? What has gone wrong? Sue Wilson is a filmmaker who has made a film about exactly that, a documentary film. We're going to talk to her, unfortunately, only for a few minutes because we don't have a lot of time this hour, but I want to make sure to get her in. Her film, Broadcast Blues, will be premiering up in San Francisco. Who is Green Nine, our friends up at Green 960 are picking up this hour live tonight, I'm happy to say. Broadcast Blues will be screening will be held 4 p.m. on Sunday at San Francisco's Victoria Theater. Otherwise, you can get more information on Broadcast Blues at broadcastblues.tv. Sue Wilson joins us now. There we go. Welcome to the show, Sue.
Hey, Brad, it's so good to have a voice of truth and reason and sanity on these airwaves.
Yeah, I know. It's really troubling flipping around the dial, whether it's the radio, whether it's the TV, and seeing how this time is wasted, this constitutional responsibility that I believe journalists have. in your film, in talking to all the journalists who you came across or interviewed for this film, do the journalists seem to understand that there is a constitutional responsibility, as the only industry even mentioned in the Constitution, to tell the truth and to use these airwaves appropriately? Is there an understanding out there?
Absolutely. In fact, I mean, Helen Thomas is in the film, and she talks about how we got into such trouble in this war in Iraq because everybody just kind of decided to be patriotic but not use their common sense and their skepticism, which is the tool of the trade when it comes to journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Goodman, she talks about, you know, there were hundreds and hundreds of pro-war people on the air before Iraq. There were three who were anti-war. What's that about? And you know what's interesting? It isn't just the people who are in the film. The journalists across the country really get this. Journalists really like broadcast blues. But the parent companies don't ever, ever want to show this. This is truly the movie that the media does not want people to see. That's why I can thank California Common Cause and the Media Alliance for bringing this to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Because without the grassroots, nobody's going to get a chance to hear the truth about what's really going on with these airwaves.
So you believe that there were journalists out there who did want to cover it, and I know Phil Donahue is in your film. He's a perfect case in point, frankly, because his show was the top-rated show on MSNBC at the time that he was on, and then they came out with the Donahue rule that said if you have someone who opposes the war, you have to have two people who are in favor of the war, and which he did, and yet he still got fired with the top-rated show. So is it so it's not the journalists you're suggesting. You believe it's the editors and the company owners?
It's the editors, it's the company owners, and maybe it's a vast right-wing conspiracy. David Brock is in the film, and he tells us that there has been a concerted effort by the conservative movement for mm-hmm. many, many years to disable journalism from doing its job. If people are dumbed down, if people are not able to decipher what the real facts are, if we think it isn't just Brangelina and Michael Jackson, it's about confusing people about the facts of all kinds of issues, from global warming to health care to war. If we can pretend that we're telling that, let me back up. If conservative radio especially pretends that they are telling the truth to people and people buy it, we are no longer dealing with facts. We're dealing with fantasy, and we're dealing with really trying to get journalists to not be able to do their jobs anymore.
And we are dealing with fantasy. I mean, have you watched Fox News lately? It is a freak show over there. It is insane. They are so out of touch with any kind of reality. And, of course, the defense they always give is, well, we're the number one name in cable, so we must be doing something right. Yeah, well, they'd have even more viewers, I suspect, if they showed porn on the Fox Channel, or if they threw Christians to the lions. That was also very popular. Has nothing to do with accuracy and truth, though, does it?
No, it doesn't. And the thing is that we need that so much. Think about where we're at with our economy right now. What would have happened if journalists were really doing their job 5 years ago, 8 years ago? What if people were asking questions about why are there ads in the newspaper saying I can get 125% loan to value loan on my house
mm-hmm.
when I don't have any credit at all? Nobody asks those questions because we're dealing now with this cycle where you have to do it fast, you have to do it quick. Nobody has the time to really ask hard questions, and that's so bad for us. But here's the good news.
Good. I need some good news. Yes. What is it?
This movie, at its core, is mm-hmm. really about empowerment. It's about reminding we, the people, that we own the public airwaves, that the media belongs to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is another little secret that they've been trying to keep from us.
Yep.
But we own those airwaves, and we are rising. And, you know, we're going to do this film 4 o'clock at the Victoria Theater in San Francisco. If you're in the Bay Area, I hope you come out. If you're going to be part of the Gay Pride March, come on out afterward, because I'm going to tell you what. We're going to do a rally beforehand. We're going to do a protest of hate radio. We're going to demand that the FCC start to study hate radio and the correlations that are coming out between hate radio and hate crime.
Good. Good. And let's, you know, start letting these folks know, these station owners know, that if you don't follow your responsibility, that your license may be threatened. Because there's, you know, these guys who own these leases now, they think they own the airwaves. They don't. It's the people's airwaves. And with that comes a responsibility. Sue Wilson, sorry I had to be so short here tonight. I really appreciate the work you're doing. I hope folks will get out in San Francisco to the Victoria Theater this Sunday, June 28, at 4 p.m. If you can't get there, go to broadcastblues.tv. I believe, can you buy the film online, Sue?
You bet you can.
All right, buy it online or watch for a screening near you. Buy one and screen it in your own community. Be the media. Thanks, Sue Wilson, for all you do.
Thanks, Brad.
You bet. All right, Brad Friedman here on The Molloy Show. Coming back with your calls. Don't wait till the end. 877-520-1150 on anything you want to talk about. We're going to talk to Barry Kendall, though. More on media right after this break, but get in line now. We'll be back. Back to the Mike Molloy Show. Nice job. That'll wake everyone up, Tony. Brad Friedman in for Molloy. Your open line calls are coming up next at 877-520-1150. Looks like the phone lines are filling up, so if you want to get in, now's the time. We're speaking about the media and the failures thereof. And one guy who has come up with a good idea on how to begin balancing the mess we have, Barry Kendall, the executive director of the Commonweal Institute. And you get more information at commonwealinstitute.org. They've just begun. They're a great progressive organization. They have just announced their new Fellows op-ed program in hopes of countering some of the wingnut welfare out there. And in that regard, full disclosure, I have been invited and accepted to be a fellow at the Commonweal Institute. I am indeed a happy fellow. Barry Kendall joins us now. Welcome to the show, Barry.
Thank you very much. Fred, I lost you there for a second. It's great to be here.
You're on sale, I know, tonight, and I appreciate you staying up late for us here. What is your hope in this new op-ed program for what? Progressives, imagine that. What do you hope to, where do you hope to take this?
Well, we have been thinking about doing this for a while, but it was all triggered ultimately by a letter that we got, an email that we got from a woman, I think she was in Akron, and she said that she had gotten sick and tired of opening up her local paper, and all she would see were editorials and op-ed columns from conservative commentators, and there was never somebody to offer an opposing viewpoint. And so she got in touch with the editorial board at the paper and said, you know, what gives here, people? And they said, look, we don't get the material. If we got the material, we'd be more than happy to present a contrasting viewpoint.
So they're actually claiming that that they don't get the material, that nobody provides them with a progressive viewpoint?
I know, which is a hoot, isn't it? We thought, well, this is obviously not the case. But nonetheless, we thought, well, look, it is true that we need more spokespeople for progressive values and progressive ideas in the media. So let's take some of the brilliant voices that are out there writing in the new media space, writing in the blogosphere, writing in online magazines and journals. Let's take some of those voices. Let's provide them with some support. Let's provide them with some training, with some editorial backup and assistance, and see if we can't start elevating these voices out into the so-called mainstream or traditional media.
And I don't think a lot of people understand that when they see these op-eds in these papers, that they are planted is a too cynical word, I think, to use here, but they are actually written by these fellows at these various think tanks, and you use the word conservative. Most of them are not conservative. They're right-wing, and there is a difference, that they're planted, if you will, from these groups. And so do we just not have the groups out there on the progressive side that are turning out this material and giving them to these newspapers?
We don't have as many. We're not as well funded. You know, one of the brilliant things that the right wing has done over time is that they treat their people very well. Mm-hmm. And so somebody comes off of a campaign that they were working for a right wing candidate. They don't have anything to do. Well, the right wing infrastructure will find a slot for them. Will plunk them down at a think tank and say, here, you stay here for a couple of years, you write some pieces for us, and you know, they call it wingnut welfare.
Yep.
Well, progressives don't quite, at least my organization, some organizations are better funded than ours are, ours is right now, but progressives, what we have is maybe not welfare, but we'll call it food stamps. That's where we started, but we would love to, we'd love to grow it and really take these really smart people and provide them with all the support that they need to be very regularly writing and thinking and doing the research and creating the messages that are going to promote progressive values out there in the marketplace of ideas.
And I look forward to writing some of those op-eds for you in the weeks ahead as one of your new fellows, Barry Kendall. CommonWealInstitute.org. That's CommonWeal, W-E-A-L. Institute.org. Please check them out. Please check the blog out over there. Support these guys. And Barry, I hope that other progressive institutes out there take an example from what you're doing and, you know, start helping out the good guys to get the word out. And thank you for what you're doing, Barry.
Well, thanks a bunch. Thanks for having me on the show, and thank you for joining us. I can't wait to read what you write.
I can't wait to read what I write either. I'm looking forward to it, to finding out what it'll be. Thank you, Barry Kendall. Much appreciate that. And trying to push back against this right-wing dominated media. CommonWealInstitute.org. Check them out. Support them. Support the alternative media if we're ever going to have a chance out here. All right, your calls, a couple lines are still open, 877-520-1150. I will be back to take those calls right after this.
I spoke into his eyes, I thought you died alone, alone, alone.
When you're alone, women seem wicked. When you're unwanted, streets are uneven. When you're down, when you're strange.
Strange?
Faces come out of the rain.
Yeah.
When you're strange.
Brad Friedman in for Malloy. And we are going to take your calls, open lines here to finish out the hour, 877-520-1150. Mike and Kathy will return next Monday. Been a great week here, and well, let's see how many calls we can possibly fit in to this half hour. Let's go to Tim in Detroit, Michigan. Welcome to the Malloy Show. What's up, Tim?
Hi, Bradley. First of all, I wanted to compliment you and others for documenting the innumerable election frauds that have gone on from the 2000 elections onwards.
Thank
so
you, sir.
As a result, I mean, I'm very much in favor of a paper trail. Here, I guess, though, is
wait,
where
wait,
I
wait, 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 wait. I got to correct you, Tim. We need you to be in favor of a paper ballot, not a paper trail. Paper trail is meaningless. A paper ballot, hand marked by the voters. Okay?
Yeah, that's true. That actually is more rigorous because that ballot actually exists in real time.
Yeah, and ballots that exist are always good. Yeah. So paper ballots, paper trails are meaningless. Paper ballots
yeah,
mean
I
the world.
I actually misspoke.
I know you did. No
but,
problem.
But what, I guess, and this is the issue where it would get complicated because. To give a brief history, I've been losing my eyesight steadily for the last several years.
Uh-huh.
And for the last couple of elections, what I've done is I've gone absentee,
mm-hmm.
and I've had someone aid me in voting. So
right.
it's been an opt-to-scan ballot. So we know the issues with that.
Right.
But I guess my question to boil it down is, what are blind people to do even if there are paper ballots, since the blind person could not see the paper ballot itself? How would that be addressed in a better bill than the one that's going before Congress now?
Oh, good. Fair enough. Well, as it is now, the Help America Vote Act already requires privacy and independence for voters, for disabled voters who wish to vote that way. You're also, if you're a blind voter, you're allowed to bring someone in there to help you. That is not independent, obviously, but that is one option. Beyond that, there are options out there, tactile ballots. I was speaking with Ellen Tyson earlier today. She actually invented one called VotePad, which she's had a lot of trouble getting into states because the states would rather buy these touchscreen voting machines, in which it is impossible for anybody, sighted or not sighted, to verify their votes. So it's certainly not an ideal situation.
Yeah,
but
I've been fighting a lot of these disability so-called activists who promote these, these touchscreen machines, and I've shown them documentation they do not work.
Right. The National Federation for the Blind received $1 million from Diebold, and then what do you know? They were suddenly in favor of Diebold touchscreen machines. If you can't verify it, it's meaningless. You can't verify any touchscreen machine with or without a paper trail.
You know who was behind all that? Yeah. It was Jack Abramoff and Bob Benet. They were instrumental in getting the NFB $1 million.
Oh, don't I know it. I've been writing about that for years. Tim, I got to move on, but thank you for speaking out on this, and please continue to do so.
Sure.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Let's see. Let's get down to, there we go. James in El Sobrante, California. Welcome to the show.
Okay, so I'm going to try not to ramble. Work with me here, okay?
Go quick. You don't need to ramble.
McCain and Lieberman, the dynamic duo, were at it again.
What did they do?
They decided to criticize, attack Obama, really. Obviously, just saying that he was in. But basically what McCain, said is that Obama is supposed to treat the entire government of Iran now as, an illegitimate.
As an enemy, and threatened to attack them when they know we couldn't possibly attack them at this point, frankly, if we wanted to, because we got two damn wars going on that John McCain was in support of in the first place.
That's right. And you know that Russia is actually has been helping Iran develop its nuclear program towards the stated objective of developing it as an energy resource. So really, it's either we find some way to work together, and the broader international community, which is something that conservatives or right wingers, whatever you want to call them, categorically don't seem to understand. The way that works and how it actually produces results, or would you just like what you said? Hey, on the way to Afghanistan, we'll swing by Tehran. I'm sure the protesters there are just that. Allahu Akbar means in Farsi is please, America, bomb us.
Right, exactly. Thanks for the call, James. Yeah, John McCain, who was singing "Bomb Bomb Iran" a year ago, is now celebrating the people on the streets that he wanted to bomb. Newsflash, John McCain, you lost. Shut up. All right, let's go now to Simon in Tampa. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind, Simon?
Hey, what's up, Leroy? Everything nice?
Well, you tell me. We got a question?
Yeah, man. First, I just want to know, right? I hear all these politicians was talking about how they're going to pay for the single-payer health care.
Right.
And where they're going to get the money for it. But the question, it's like nobody asking the same question. I mean, the insurance company doing it, they're having money to pay for the people that they're representing. I mean, I don't think they're more powerful than the U.S. government. I mean, I'm pretty sure that the same way that we pay for it, the same way that they pay for it, the same way that the U.S. government could also pay for it, too.
Yeah. Hey, Simon, the health insurance companies at this point, the banks, the corporations, they are the U.S. government. Appreciate the call, Simon. Sorry to break the news. All right, brother.
All right.
Speaking of health care, you can get in here, 877-520-1150. Celeste from Toledo, Ohio, talking about electoral messes. What's on your mind, Celeste?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm seeing we're probably not going to have a chance to get single-payer health care, but they better not waffle and give the public option away, because there are too many people who are underinsured who can't afford an insurance premium of $500 or $600 a month for one person.
Mm-hmm. And don't be surprised, by the way, if that public option also slips away. Rahm Emanuel was given hints the other day that they might be willing to do away with the public option. And this is what happens when you go in, when you negotiate with yourself. You know, they should have gone in asking for single payer and settled for public option. But you know what? We all saw this coming. Barack Obama back, a year or so ago when he was running for president, he said when they were threatening to withhold funding on one of the war spending bills, he said, well, we'll probably give it to them anyway. And I just wanted to let people know I'll probably vote for the war spending anyway because they should know what kind of president I would be. Well, look, if you're going to show your hand as Barack Obama did back then, you got no negotiation leverage. And that's what they're giving away. The Democrats are giving away left and right, Celeste.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. We are a majority. What's this bipartisan stuff? And if Obama or anybody thinks that we should pay taxes, those of us who are fortunate to have employer-supplied health care, why should I pay taxes on that?
Well, for what? For health care?
I heard this yesterday. It was on Air America that the possibility of taxing Americans, taxing our health benefits. So I'm lucky.
Oh,
I have a really progressive senator in Sherrod Brown,
right,
here in Ohio. So I'm going to send him a letter and let him know what I think about this, because
please
this
do.
Is outrageous.
Please do. Please let your congressmen and your senators know how you feel about this stuff, because I promise you they're going to get away with what they want to get away with anyway. But at least you can make them fight for it. But you have to make noise. You can't give up. I know it gets difficult out there sometimes, but you know, keep making noise. It does, I promise you, make a difference. Anything that I've seen happen in this country over the last, I don't know how many years, any positive thing, is because one person has stood up, has made noise, has raised hell, has become the media. Please, don't give up out there. We got room for more of your calls, 877-520-1150. Let me get to Tom in Murrieta, California. Welcome to the show. Tom, what's up?
Who would that be that would make all that kind of noise?
Tom! How are you? Tom Corbett, the great election activist down there with Save Our Vote in Riverside. How are you feeling tonight, sir?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Doing well. I restarted chemotherapy on Monday, but I'm, you know, this is 8 years into it, and I'm feeling really good.
For the rest of the country who doesn't know, Tom Corbett and the work they've done in Riverside County, the first county in the country forced to vote on touchscreen voting machines back in 2000. He is a tireless, and I mean tireless, activist, because he's also dealing with cancer, as he just mentioned, in getting rid of those damn machines down there. He got rid of a lot of them, but the fight has not stopped. And Tom, you're a perfect example of what I was talking about. One person standing up and not giving up. You've made that difference down there, Tom.
Well, I thank you so much for that, and we've got a great group of people here, and Greg Tabor has kind of picked up the baton, and he's going to be running with it. I've moved from 110% commitment to 10%, but the point is I'm still going to be involved. I just need to put time in with my family.
Well, you deserve some rest and a break and time to get better from all you're doing, Tom.
It's been almost 4 years. I was going to mention, Brad, when the gentleman who was sight-restricted called in, one of the options that they have are the audio voting systems that go with the DREs. And so you can plug them in, and it walks you through verbally the voting system, so they don't have to use a tactile type of...
Well, that's correct, but the problem there, Tom, is that's the system that I used last June, and it was an audio balloting system, and it misprinted 4 out of 12 of my votes.
Isn't it incredible?
Someone who couldn't see would have had no idea.
Yeah, No way at all.
Unbelievable. Tom, I got to get rolling, my friend.
I want to commend you for being on Molloy all week. You've done an outstanding job, and my best to you and Desi.
Bless you, brother. Good talking to you, Tom. Take care.
Bye-bye, brother.
All right. Let me get to Bruce. Do I have time? Bruce, real quickly, in Los Angeles.
Is Bruce?
This is Bruce.
Oh, hi. How are you doing? Thanks for taking my call, Brad.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys were talking earlier about problems about getting a progressive message out through the media. You know, my theory is kind of this way. It's the corporate media, they're in the business of, the news media. They're not in the business of informing or educating the population. They're in the business of selling toothpaste, selling cars. It's advertising is what they're doing. And I think that the progressive voice tends to be more nuanced, more kind of the gray areas, whereas the right-wing, you know, neocon messages, black, white, you're with us, you're against us, you know, this kind of thing, it's much more simpler. It sells. It sells more. And therefore, if it sells more, it gets people to tune in. And, again, they're selling toothpaste and cars.
Yeah, but you know what?
Whatever.
But no. You know what? Stephanie Miller was talking to Tom Hartman not long ago and had said that she's on something like 60 affiliates in the morning. Laura Ingraham is on a couple hundred affiliates up against Stephanie. Virtually everywhere that Stephanie Miller runs up against Laura Ingraham, guess what happens? Stephanie wins. The fact is, however, she's only on 60 affiliates. Laura Ingraham, syndicated by Fox News, her show is on hundreds of stations. It's not the content. It's the fact that they're not being put on the air. There's so few progressives out there on the air. We need more of them. We need more stations for them. If the arguments get out, Molloy ain't nothing nuanced about Molloy. And he's damned entertaining. Brad Friedman in for Molloy. One more segment. Take a few more of your calls. You can try to get in 877-520-1150. We'll be back right after this.
Paper moon sailing over a cardboard sea, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
Had a great time sitting in for Mike Molloy this week. I want to thank engineer Tony Sorrentino. One of these days I'm going to get that right. Tony, it has been an honor and a pleasure to work for you, my friend. Really enjoyed it. Same to you out there in the hallway, Miranda Moreno, screening calls. We're going to get to a few more of those calls here. Thank you, Miranda. Producer Desi Doyen, thank you, dear. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Of course, Agent 99 manning the BradBlog.com chat room. Thanks to K-Talk AM 1150 out here in Los Angeles for hosting me all week. It's greatly appreciated. Also, of course, to Mike and Kathy Molloy for allowing me to screw up your show all week. I enjoyed it. They will be back on Monday. And, of course, thanks to listeners out there, you folks over at BradBlog, you truth seekers over at DU. Bless you all. Thank you for everything and supporting me here this week. I've had a blast. All right, let me grab a few more callers here very quick. Keep your comments nice and short. Thank you. Steve in Burbank, welcome to the show. What's up, sir?
How you doing, Brad?
I'm hanging in.
Well, they have this thing called fair and balanced, right?
Yeah.
Well, fair and balanced should be 50-50. I mean, could that be a valid talking point against these loony bins or what? Is that possible?
Well, A, they're just making it up. B, fairness is important. But C, balance is baloney. And I've used the comparison before. It's like, you know, if we can look out the window and see that it's sunny, there's no reason to bring on "some say it's raining."
Okay.
We can see the truth. Yes, Steve, yeah. What else you got, real quick?
Well, you invited me to come in and take over the microphone. I would have, except I don't know where the bleep button is or how to even operate it. So I couldn't do a good as job as you. Nobody could.
Well, Tony's got his eye on that bleep button, especially with you here, Steve.
Oh, no!
Yeah, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's get down to three. There we go, line three. Dave in Chicago. What's up,
you
Dave?
Know, when talking about Fox News ratings, it should always, always be noted that Fox News is basic cable. Call a right-wing show tomorrow, misrepresent yourself, and shout that out.
Well, what does it mean? What does it matter that it's basic cable?
It's basic cable. That's where they get the numbers from. It's not popular because people love it. It's popular because it's basic cable.
Well, but so is MSNBC, isn't it?
No, you got to order that.
No, you don't.
MSNBC?
No.
Nope. Not even on XM anymore.
No, well, yeah, well, it certainly doesn't. It's not on as many cable outlets, that's for sure. But CNN is everywhere, and yet Fox News beats them. Because, as I say, they love throwing Christians to the lions there, metaphorically, of course. But train wrecks are always fun to watch. Thanks for... Oops, I screwed up. There we go. Thanks for the call, Dave. Let's get to... okay, government oversight. There we go. Alameda, California. Gary, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Brad?
I'm doing good. Give me 20 seconds, your thoughts.
Okay, they have these government oversight hearings about the future of the V-22 Osprey.
Right.
And I just wanted to tell everybody out there to get involved in where all these billions of defense dollars are going. This Osprey thing is just, I mean, Dick Cheney tried to kill it. That's how bad it was. It's just a monstrosity.
And, that's the plane that doesn't work, right? It keeps crashing all the time.
Yeah, it's killed a lot of people, and it's got defense contracts in so many different states that they haven't ever been able to kill it. It's been going on 25 years, and they've spent $28 billion on it, and it's just...
Well,
an incredible waste of money.
It is, of course. And the fact of the matter is, there's another waste of money that Obama has threatened to veto if Congress moves forward with plans to build more Lockheed Martin F-22 fighter jets that he doesn't want, that the Department of Defense doesn't want, Robert Gates doesn't even want. And yet Congress is putting that into legislation coming up, millions of dollars, billions of dollars. And he says, I don't want it. But the Congress is, you know, moving it forward. Again, the lobbyists, the defense contractors, they own these guys. And until we raise hell, until we, you know, make them realize that we don't give a damn if you're Republican, if you're a Democrat, if you're not in favor of the people, if you're not in favor of the Constitution and the people, it's time for you to go. Don't fall into that right-left red-blue liberal-conservative paradigm. It's phony. Don't buy it. My thanks again to Mike and Kathy Malloy. They will be back with you on Monday. Beyond that, you'll find me at bradblog.com as I go back to just being a blogger. Couldn't be prouder of it. Thanks, guys. Until Monday, keep it lit. Watch your back. Thanks for everything, truth seekers.